Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, visit VintageChurchNola.com. Here is this week's message.
So we are in the Christmas season. I'm really excited. We're going to be singing a whole lot more Christmas music. And it's an exciting time. And it's not just exciting because we're going to be talking about Jesus, but one of the things as we wrap up 2017 and move into 2018 is we're going to be talking about completing the pathway. Some of you are like, what in the world is all of this? What are all these symbols and those kinds of things? We're going to be talking about that over the next 4 weeks. And so I want to encourage you, come and stick with us and be a part of what we're going to be talking about over these next weeks. And you're going to see what we're looking at. Now, one of the things is we think about completing this pathway, or we just think about the idea of completing. You're probably thinking of all of the different things that you've either started or finished in your life. How many of you are starters? You love to start stuff. I mean, all the time, you got lists, you're starting new things. How many of you love to finish things? Completing it, you know, checking it off that to-do list, when you check that off, you're super excited. How many of you are terrible at completing things? Yeah, there's a few of you in here. I figured that much. You know, it's like when you start your New Year's resolutions, right? That's coming up, and you have all of these things, all of these goals that you're thinking about wanting to succeed in. And you get to about this time of year, and maybe you've thrown out that resolution list altogether, and you're just like, it was a waste of time, I shouldn't have done it to begin with. Or maybe you still have that list, and you're at least looking at it, and you've got like these 10 goals that you had, and you've maybe completed one of them. And you realize, I just kind of quit. I just quit halfway. I kind of forgot about all those goals that I had. I mean, in one sense or another, we're always either starting things or completing things. Some of us are really good at it. Some of us are really bad at it. I want to show you a picture. If you've ever driven through this area before, you might have seen this house. There is this mansion that is a little north of Dallas. And this house was built in the early 1980s, okay? And one of the interesting things about it is it was built and it was never completed. Okay, massive house. These are just a couple pictures for you to see. Massive house, built, never completed. They think that really people don't really know, but they think what happened is the husband and wife who was building this went through a nasty divorce and it just never got finished. So now it's one of those houses that random people walk in and take pictures of just to get an idea of what all of this looks like. But think about this house. I mean, when you build a house, it has a purpose, right? I mean, you build a house so you can then move in and make that house a home. But when you live in a house like this with windows busted out and the inside's not finished, I mean, it really can't serve the purpose or the function that it was designed to serve all along. And as we think about completing the pathway for these next 4 weeks, I want you to keep this kind of image in mind. Because here's the reality. The church, Jesus has created his church, and he's created Vintage Church for a particular purpose or function or reason. And he's done a ton of stuff. We just a few months ago celebrated our 9th birthday, going into our 10th birthday. And if you think about all that God has done, it's incredible. But if you stop there and you don't complete, you don't finish what God has begun, then the church, Vintage Church, becomes like this house. That it looks, you know, it looks pretty amazing. The plans are incredible, but it's not finished. It's not completed. And at the end of the day, it doesn't have any purpose. As we think about completing the pathway, what we're thinking about is God has done all of this incredible stuff over these past 9 going on to 10 years. And the question that I want us to think about is how do we complete what God has begun? How do we take what God has started and with Him finish it, complete it, get it to the point and the place where God wants it to be? That's what we're talking about this morning. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, lift up your hand. We have a Connect team that would love to get you a copy of God's Word. That's our gift from us to you. And we're going to be in 2 Corinthians. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And I want to lay out really quickly, before we kind of jump into the text, the historical context, so you kind of understand what's going on. Paul planted all kinds of different churches all over Europe and the modern and what now is Asia and Europe. And he would write letters to these different churches. And there's all kinds of different stuff that's in the book of 2 Corinthians. But one of the things that we see in chapter 8 is Paul is encouraging and challenging the Corinthians to finish something that they had started. And the thing that they had started, the thing that they had begun to do, was to collect money to send it to the church at Jerusalem. It's called, they called it the relief of the saints. Then the reason is because the Jerusalem church is the first church. It's where Christianity began, right? That's where Jesus was, the disciples were, but it was an impoverished church. It was a poor church. And when Paul planted all of these other churches all around the world, there were other areas and other churches that were far more wealthy. And so what Paul is reminding them is, listen, Corinthians, you set out in the beginning to collect money for the church in Jerusalem, and now it's time to finish that work. Now it's time to complete that work. And so let's read that in 2 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 1. This is what Paul writes. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, as their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also be genuine. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment, this benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it." Now look at verse 11. "So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." So in 2 Corinthians 8, Paul is laying out for us what I believe are some foundational principles that I want you to think about this morning for your own personal life. What in your life has God called you to, what God has begun in your life that you need to complete, that you need to finish, and then for Vintage Church, what has God begun in our life, and what is it that we need to complete? And I think in 2 Corinthians 8, we see some principles that I want us to think about this morning. So how do we complete what God has begun? As we think about completing the pathway, the first thing that I want you to recognize is that we have to recognize God's grace to complete it. We have to recognize God's grace to complete it. Now, what does that mean? That means, listen, in and of your own power, there is little to nothing that you are going to be able to do and accomplish for God, especially if God has begun it in you. In 2 Corinthians, Paul kind of gives two examples of this. What does it look like to recognize God's grace to complete it? He talks about the Macedonian church in the beginning. And then he talks about Jesus in verse 9. And the Macedonians were a poorer church. They didn't have as much resource, but what Paul says is they actually gave in abundance. Even in their affliction and in their poverty, they gave above and beyond. But Paul makes this emphatically clear. They gave in abundance not because it was in their own power, they had the ability to do that, but because of God's grace granted to them and given to them, they were able to do that. In verse 9, we see this brief example about Jesus that Paul brings in. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." That is the Christmas story, right? That Jesus is God in heaven and that he left heaven and put on flesh and came and dwelt among men and lived as a poor carpenter. Him leaving heaven, becoming rich, becoming poor. And by dying on the cross and resurrecting from the grave, that you and I, who are poor in our death, in our sin, might be made alive through Jesus. That's only by God's grace. Not a single one of us in this room has the ability to pull ourselves up out of our own sin and save us. It is only by God's grace in our lives through Jesus Christ that you and I have the ability to become rich in Christ and have life in God. And so what Paul is reminding us in 2 Corinthians is, listen, if you're going to finish anything, if you're going to complete anything, you're not going to be able to do it in and of your own strength and power. You need to recognize that it's God's grace that's going to allow you to complete it. What in your life right now you know God's called you to finish or complete? That he's begun it, he's called you to finish it, and you're trying to do it in and of your own power. Recognize God's grace in that. That he's the one who started it, he's the one who can and will finish it. Listen, at Vintage Church, if we're going to be about seeing life transformation in New Orleans and beyond, we're not going to be able to do that in and of our own strength. Even on my best day, I can't save anybody by myself. Even on your best day, if we just said collectively together, hey, we're going to do this together, but we chose to leave God out of the equation, we're going to fall flat on our face. We can't do anything outside of our own power. When I think about Vintage, I think about all of these different examples of God's grace to complete it. One of the ones that always comes to mind for me is our Vintage Art Center on Magazine Street. A story of God's grace, because listen, the Art Center is owned by this Jewish man who is completely lost and far away from Jesus. Yet, in the early days of Vintage Church, he called Pastor Rob his pastor. I don't know, you tell me, I don't get it. God's grace. In the early days, he said, hey, you know what? I'm not doing anything with it. If you Christians who I don't believe what you believe, but hey, if you want to meet there for free, be my guest. God's grace. I think back to this place. Listen, here, several years ago, decades ago, this was Highland Baptist Church. And in 2011, bringing Vintage Church and Highland Baptist Church together to merge and marry one another. And here we are sitting in this place, being able to worship Jesus and doing ministry together. Listen, if it was in our own power, either Vintage Church or Highland Baptist Church would have destroyed whatever God was trying to bring about. It's by the grace of God that we are here together, committed to one another, in one body, in one family, serving Jesus together. I think about the Art Center. I think about the merger. I think about all of the leaders that we've developed over the years that we've not intentionally developed. One of the couples that we talk about all the time at Vintage is Scott and Wendy, who are missionaries in Mumbai, India. Scott and Wendy were literally Rachel and I, my wife and I's first neighbors at the seminary. And they came into Vintage. Wendy started RV Kids from literally nothing. Scott and Wendy, they were both V group leaders. And when I think about that story, this is where I recognize God's grace. There wasn't no like perfect plan that we put them through and said, hey, if you go step one, step two, step three, you guys are going to be able to be missionaries in one of the most difficult places to reach people. It was God's grace in working in Vintage's heart and life, in Scott and Wendy's heart and life, to help develop them into the leaders that they are today, that they might be used in a faraway place like Mumbai, India. Recognize God's grace. One of my favorite examples of this is baptism. To see people be baptized as a perfect example and picture of the grace of God in their lives. But listen, my favorite example is not just baptism, but to see friends baptize friends. Because it's nothing that I've done. I mean, we didn't put this plan in place, say, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is the strategy that we're going to create. And you're going to go here at this time, and then you're going to report back at this time. You're going to say exactly this. Listen, it was just that friend loving that other friend, letting them know about Jesus and how lost they are without Jesus. And then celebrating together life change. That one person has been changed by Jesus, and one person was simply faithful to Jesus to share that. But listen, it's not the friend that saved the other friend. It's the grace of Jesus shared by the friend that brought the other friend to life change in Jesus. It's the grace of God. And if we want to complete anything in life, life or vintage, we've got to recognize that it's only by God's grace that we're going to be able to complete what He's called us to. That we're going to be able to complete what He has begun. So how do we complete what God has begun? Yes, we recognize God's grace to complete it. But listen, if we stop there, if we simply say, hey, God, You do it. How many of you, when you want something really bad, you close your eyes and you say, God, okay, let's make this happen. I mean, you know, there was days I would wake up when I was working on my PhD, writing my dissertation. I was like, God, if I just pray hard enough, could You put words on a page for me? I mean, it's in my mind, God. You don't have to make anything up. It's all there. Just take my thoughts and put them on a page. I mean, life doesn't work like that. If you've ever done that and that's happened, please come and talk to me because I want to know what magic sauce you're eating or anything like that because that would be excellent. Yes, we need to recognize God's grace in that. But listen, there's an element of our effort involved in completing what God has begun. And so the second thing that we see is we've got to desire to complete it. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verses 6 through 8 and 10 through 12, Paul reminds the Corinthians, listen, you started to do this. You were collecting money and you were going to send it to Jerusalem. The most important thing that you can do now is have a desire to not just start it, but a desire to finish it. And in desiring to finish it, that you would actually carry it out and do what you desired to do from the beginning. I mean, in anything, in everything that we do in life, listen, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish, right? I'm not a runner, okay? I'm not a runner in the least bit. I had to run the other day at the gym. It was terrible. I just don't like to run, okay? But I know in running, it's not how you start a race, it's how you finish a race. If it's a long distance race, the worst thing that you can do is start off the block sprinting because you know what? Halfway through, you're going to be exhausted. It's about pacing yourself and finishing well, completing the race. And what Paul is reminding, the Corinthians is, listen, you have to desire to complete it. A few weeks ago, about a month and a half ago, my wife and I, we went to Waco, Texas. Anybody ever been to Waco? Is somebody from Waco? I mean, there's not much there, okay? We pulled up and I'm like, man, is there a town here? So we went to Waco. We went there for the Silos. Anybody been to the Silos before? Anybody, if you don't know about Chip and Joanna Gaines, you're like living under a rock, okay? Because they're like everywhere. They're taking over the world. And so, you know, this isn't really a man place. Just men, if you're going, you're just going to be there waiting for your wife or your significant other to shop, holding their purse, along with the other line of men that are doing the exact same thing. But I enjoyed myself, okay? And it was for Rachel more than anything, so go for it. But one of the interesting things, we say in this bed and breakfast, and one of the interesting things that came to me as I was as we were visiting there is, you know, when you go somewhere or you're hearing stories about people, famous people normally, you're probably asking that question, are they legit? Like, are they who they act like and they say they are, right? And you've got those people, they have got this persona and this image. And then when you meet somebody that knows them or hears about them and knows them more than you do, they tell you this terrible story. And they're not really who they say they are. That's not the case for Chip and Joanna Gaines in Waco. If you're not familiar with the house, Fixer Upper, they have that show, they have a Target line, the silos. And what was incredible to hear, is literally how two people can literally transform an entire city. It's nuts. Like, there's nothing there in Waco outside of Baylor. But now people flock to this city to visit the silos. Now, why do I share that? Because listen, it started, this wasn't something they were like, hey, let's do this and let's get really famous. They always had, if you hear stories about them, they always had a desire from the very beginning to be about taking care of and enhancing Waco, Texas. And caring for people. One of the things that they do on the show that you've probably seen, the Gut Out Team. Ever since they started flipping houses, the Gut Out Team is made out of people who are incarcerated, who got out of prison, that Chip is wanting to give a second chance. And that didn't come with popularity. That's their desire. As we think about our own individual lives, as we think about what we're doing here at Vintage and what God has begun, listen, it's going to start with a desire. And that desire might be the craziest thing that you're thinking about. Listen, if your dreams are big enough or small enough that when you think about that dream, you can accomplish it just by yourself, you're probably not dreaming big enough. Because what God is doing, hopefully in your life personally and in our church collectively, He's birthing desires and dreams that should scare you to death. They should. I don't know about you, but I mean, God's the creator of the universe. I think He can do a little bit than gather two to three different people. Or you're like, I'm afraid to go talk to my friend about Jesus. Listen, if God could create the whole universe, do you think He could do something with your friend? I'm just saying. So God is birthing maybe these crazy dreams in our hearts and in our lives. And listen, hopefully they're big enough that they're challenging you to recognize that it's God's grace, but that desire is being birthed that you might go and do something about it. When I think about Vintage Church, I think about some of these things. Literally, just two Wednesdays ago, we had a leader meeting right here. And one of our leaders, their family, they live in Chalmette. And they were like, listen, we have neighbors and friends who need to hear about Jesus. And one of the things that we're desiring to do is simply start a V group in our community. For Vintage, V groups are small groups of 10 to 20 people who meet regularly for transformation, connection, and multiplication. I'm excited about that because it simply starts with a desire. He has a desire. They have a desire to start a group in their neighborhood because they recognize that when people are connected to community, they experience the transformation that only Jesus can bring. It starts with that desire. I think about our residency program. 5 or 6 years ago, we started a residency program training up leaders, and I had to beg people to be in it in the beginning. I mean, I was just begging them, like, hey, come and do this, because if I don't have anybody, it's going to look terrible. Just come be a part. I promise it'll be good for you. I even created an application process in the beginning, and I had to tell people, hey, listen, you're already in, but if you could complete the application for me, that would be great. And it's funny, I know, because here we are. This is the desire. Here we are. Now we have people in our church desiring to be a part of that residency program. And I'm literally telling people, hey, we're slots are full. We're out. You're going to have to wait till 2018, 2019. But there's a desire in people's hearts in the life of Vintage to not be where they're just at and recognize that God has gifted and birthed them with a passion to lead and be a part of the church. And now they have that desire to increase and grow in that gift and ability. Desire to complete it. One of my favorite examples, and we talk about it a lot, but it's the perfect example, is Light of Hope with the Rosenbergers. Listen, that didn't start. Light of Hope is our homeless ministry that goes out and feeds and cares for the homeless in our city every week. That didn't start with the pastors coming to them and saying, hey, we have this great need. Could you do something about it? That came with us preaching through something, I can't even remember what it was, and God birthing a passion and desire in the heart of other people to go and serve and to care for other people. It started with a desire, and now literally every week they go out every Saturday and feed the homeless and build relationships with the homeless and share the gospel with other people. It's a desire. Are you going to desire to complete it? What in your life that you know God has begun that you need to finish it well with that desire? Well, we're not just going to recognize God's grace. We're not just going to desire to complete it. The last thing that I want you to see is we're going to work together to complete it. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 13 through 15, Paul does this thing that's really incredible. He basically says, listen, right now, where you are at, Corinthians, you have the ability and the resources to take care of the Jerusalem church. But there's also this reality that a time might come in which you might not have those resources. You might not have the ability, and the Jerusalem church will have that ability. And in that time, the Jerusalem church is going to be able to care for you as you are right now caring for them. And what Paul is helping them see is like, listen, together we are a family collectively caring for and working together to see what God wants accomplished in our world. I mean, just think about this for a second. Think about it. God wants to use you to change your world. How many of you are like, that's scary? I mean, there's like, I don't even know how many people there are in the world anymore. Like 7 billion, I think. 7 billion people. God wants to use you to change that world. Now, if you think about that, one person for 7 billion people, that is a, I can't even do, I'm terrible at math, I can barely add and subtract. I know that that's a big, big difference. But what if, together, we worked to see God change our world? What would it look like for millions of people to share Jesus and see our world changed? Here in New Orleans, we are just one body among many bodies, here in the city and around the world. And yet, if you think about yourself as an individual, hey, there's no way I'm going to be able to reach 7 billion people for Jesus. And you might be thinking, hey, there's no way my one self is going to be able to reach the 1.1 million people in Orleans and Jefferson Parish. But when you begin to think about what an army of 350 to 400 people can do, that drastically changes things. And that's what God has called us to do. Listen, if we're going to complete what He has begun, we've got to do it together. We've got to think about how are we linking arms together to be able to accomplish what God has called us to do. That's what He's talking about here in 2 Corinthians. One of the things that we talk about a lot when it comes to giving at Vintage is it's not about equal giving, it's about equal sacrifice. Why? Because just like here, the Jerusalem church did not have as many resources as the Corinthian church. But what God is not saying is like, hey, because you don't have as much, you're not a part of the mission. You're not a part of the plan. No, each and every one of us, when it comes to giving, listen, we should all be giving to the local body. It doesn't matter if you're giving $1 million or $1. It's about equal sacrifice, not equal giving. And when you think about completing whatever God has begun and called us to, listen, we work together. It's the image that Paul paints in the New Testament with the church, right? The church is one body, many members. You ever tied your right arm behind your back and tried to live your life? If you're right-handed, of course. I've never done it. It doesn't sound like a fun thing. I don't think I'm going to try it. I like to use my right hand. It's my prominent hand. And what Paul is trying to challenge us in is, listen, God's called us to some big stuff. He wants us to dream big dreams. But He's told us to do it together. To work together in completing these dreams. I think about some of these examples when it comes to Vintage. It's things like the More Initiative. Over 2 years ago, if you've been a part of Vintage for a little while, over 2 years ago, we kicked off and started the More Initiative. And literally, this is part of the fruit. It's sitting in this room and all of the new people that come into this room week in and week out, this is part of that fruit. The ministry that we've been able to accomplish in the city with the More Initiative. Listen, we wouldn't be able to do that individually. If I'm trying to, like, just think about some of our church planters, if I'm trying to support them individually, I might be able to feed them once a month. That's about it. Hey, will you take my $50 check and you can, that'll buy you a meal. But collectively, when we work together, we're able to accomplish so much more. I think about all of the pastors and church planters and staff and volunteers that we have developed here at Vintage Church. That's collective. Part of that is celebrating the reality that most of our pastors and our staff are not people that we've hired from without, but people that we have developed and raised up from within. And that we get to celebrate that and work together, and not just here at Vintage, but the ones that we've developed and then we've sent out to plant churches all over the United States. That's not something that one person does in and of themselves. It's something that we have done collectively together. I think about one of my favorite stories that we've shared before is Christmas Adopt, something that we did several years ago. We had a lady in our church named Tamara, and she volunteered at a prison. And one of the things that she realized during the Christmas season is that there were all these incarcerated parents, and they had children, and their children weren't able to have presents for Christmas. So she started to think, okay, how can I take care of this? Well, she found out there were 70 kids. She's not going to be able to buy 70 presents, so she went to her group, her V group, and there was probably about 10 to 15. We're not going to be able to do that together. Then we brought it to the church, and literally one Sunday during the Christmas season, we had 70 kids, and each and every one of them had gifts. Why? Because we're working together to complete it. Together, we were able to do far more than we ever would have been able to as individuals. So as we think about what does it look like to complete what God has begun, yes, we need to recognize God's grace, desire to complete it, and we need to work together to complete it. So what is Vintage Church going to complete in 2018? We're calling it the Vintage Pathway. We're going to complete the pathway. And over the next 3 weeks, I want to encourage you to be right here, because over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about what does it mean in 2018 for Vintage Church to complete the pathway. But what I want you to see first is simply, what is the pathway? We've talked about this a few times. We share this if you've been to any steps of our Connect track. But it's incredibly important that you understand what the pathway is. Why? Because this is the way that Vintage Church wants to make disciples. This is how we believe that as a church body collectively, we are going to make disciples. So for a lot of people, the first step is simply gathering, right? That's the first step. It's coming here. Every week we have a ton of first-time guests, and their entry point, their front door into the life of Vintage Church is simply coming here and experiencing the worship gathering that we have every week. Some of you, that's you. You've been there, you've done that. That was your first step. We don't want people to stop there, though. We believe that it's vitally important that people take next steps, and that next step is to connect. For Vintage Church, what that means is we want them to do a few things. We have that Connect track, where they can learn more about Jesus, discover their gifts, join community, become a partner. We believe that in that Connect track, they're going to learn what it means to be a part of Vintage Church. As they do that, we want them to join up with one of our V groups. We want them to serve on a V team, because we believe that it's in those moments, in those elements, that they're going to connect deeper into the life of the church. Right? You can be in this room in all of these rows, not know anybody, and sneak out and never meet anybody. You come to a group, you're going to have 10 to 15 people. They're going to know your name at least. And that, while that's intimidating for some of you, that's what we all need in life. So they gather, they connect. We then want them to partner. We believe that it's not just enough to connect with the local church, but we want people to be committed to the local church. Partnership at Vintage Church is membership. We believe that people should become members and partner with Vintage Church and be committed together to fulfill what God has called us to. So we gather, we connect, we partner, then we lead. Listen, we want people to aspire to all different types of leadership. My desire, my greatest desire is to see someone who comes off the streets, doesn't know Jesus, becomes saved, and years later becomes one of our pastors. God can do that. For some of you, you're in this particular role. And listen, you aspiring to lead is simply going to your V group leader and saying, hey, I think we could start a V group and I want to lead that. It's beginning to lead at every single level at Vintage Church. And listen, the whole thing does not end without sending. And whether you're being sent all across the world to somewhere like Mumbai, India, or you're being sent out after today for Monday morning when you go back to your workplace, we want you to recognize and remember that you are a missionary sent by God to your workplace, to your neighborhood, to your home, to your family, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus has called all of us who follow him to. And so it doesn't stop simply coming here and being a part of what Vintage is doing, but being sent out that others might know about Jesus. Now, and this is what I want you to think about, because the point is like, oh, well, this is all great. I mean, this is a cute little graphic, and this is exciting, and we'd love to see more people come and be a part of Vintage. But I want you to think about the big picture. I want you to think about what would it look like to have someone who is far from Jesus simply take a step into this building. And I want you to think about maybe 6 months passes, and there's a moment in which God's grace reaches in and saves them. And the person that they were, because of Jesus, is no longer the person that they are. They've been changed. And we think, then that person takes the next step and they connect into the life of Vintage. Maybe they come to our Connect track and then they step into a V group and they join community. And they have some friends that, because they were completely lost, they don't know any other Christians. And they step into a community of other Christians who are following Jesus. And as they step into that community, they begin to learn what it means to follow Jesus. And they begin to build relationships that literally will transform their life. They become a partner. They recognize, listen, it's not just enough for me to connect, but I need to be committed. A couple years goes by, they're in a V group, and they recognize, listen, God's gifted me. I think in his power, I can lead one of these V groups. So they start a V group. Years later, we send out another church planter, some city somewhere in the United States. And God bursts this passion on that person's heart who several years ago came to faith, and they realize now they need to move and go to that other city and be sent out. Now, think about that and multiply that by 1,000. What do you think God could do with something like that? I think God could change our city. I think God could change our world. And that's what I'm dreaming about. That's what I believe that Vintage Church has been called by God to complete in 2018. Because I believe that God has done and begun some ridiculously incredible things in the past and here. But I believe where God is bringing us and where God is leading us and what we are going to see God do is beyond comparison to what he has done. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be a part of. That's what I want to be committed to. That's what in a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, I want to celebrate. So I want to invite you. We're going to be unveiling a whole lot more of this, but on Wednesday, John already shared it, on Wednesday we're having a Vintage partner meeting. This is for all those of you that are partners, or even if you're not a partner yet and you're aspiring to be a partner, you want to be a partner, come and join us right here from 6:30 to 8. Child care is provided, light snacks. We're going to be sharing all kinds of stuff about the future. But one of the things that we're going to be talking about, okay, is how do we complete the pathway? What does it look like for Vintage Church in 2018 to complete the pathway? And let's come together and commit that we're going to do this together. By God's grace, we're going to finish what he's begun. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you so much for this morning, God. We thank you for opportunities to reflect back on our life, whether it's our individual lives, whether it's the life of Vintage Church, and to recognize your grace in all of that. But God, to begin thinking about the future and the desires you've birthed within us and the things that we've got to complete and the recognition that we cannot do it alone, that we need one another, that we have to work together. And God, I pray that this morning is just an opportunity to kind of stoke the fire for us. And God, as we roll into 2018, we would begin to see you do incredible things, and we would begin to do with your grace incredible things, that we might together complete the pathway. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.